Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, David, you there?
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. The news you want.
Is the perception still that
Hi, David?
With a gun is a
yeah.
With the
okay.
You need
Marcy might have been good for
How are you?
Day, but
I'm super. How are you today?
Doing well. I am doing well.
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, what's up? All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's theronkellyshow.com. And, of course, you all know we're on Gyroscope Radio as well. Thank you so much. Welcome. Thank you for joining me this evening, everybody. Glad to have you here. Hope you had a great Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hanukkah for the other folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. Happy Kwanzaa, et cetera, et cetera. And speed of Kwanzaa, I have something I want to say about that. I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I need to welcome everybody, our special guest this evening, the author of the book, and I have it right here, the author of the book, Life in the Second Half. And he goes by the name of David Jackson. Hello, David. How are you? Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show.
I am super, Ron. Best day of my life. How are you this evening?
All righty then. I'm glad to hear that. I'm doing well. All right, everybody. We're going to get to David Jackson in just a moment. David is a motivational author, motivational speaker, pastor, former Marine guard at the United States Embassy in Moscow. I've heard of American in Paris. Now we're going to hear about a black man in Moscow. we're going to hear about that in just a few minutes, everybody. First, I want to thank you all for joining me this evening, and welcome back to another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. You know, you can catch up with me in a variety of ways on social media. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Show on Facebook, of course, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and on Instagram. It's Radio Man 2. So thank you, everybody, and thank you for all the likes and the follows and the love that you've been showing the Ron Kelly Show over the time I've been on the air. So thank you once again. All right, you know, I just want to say this: it's the 50th anniversary of Kwanzaa, created by Dr. Molana Karenga. I know, I just butchered that name. She was a professor and head of the Department of Africana Studies at Cal State University in California. And, you know, there's seven core principles of Kwanzaa. And I know, you know, see, you know, everybody knows, those who are familiar with the Ron Kelly Show knows that, you know, I'm not always the, you know, everybody zigs, I zag. You know, everybody else swims, you know, up. Downstream, I might be like the salmon, and I'll swim upstream because I have a unique. I try to keep it real, you know. Try to keep it real here on the Ron Kelly Show. Trying to keep it real, right? And so it's Kwanzaa, and the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Emoja. Everybody, we'll get to my guest David Jackson in just a second. Emoja, which is unity, Kujichagulia, which is self-determination. Ujima is collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa is cooperative economics. Nia is purpose. Kumba is creativity. And Imani is faith. You know, and everybody dresses up every year. And I know you want to kick my back in. You know what? You're welcome to call into the program. It's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. I'm a little tongue-tied tonight. 646-668-2838 is the phone number here at the Ron Kelly Show. 646-668-2838. And of course, we are on Facebook Live as well. So what you could do is you can make your comments at the bottom of the page, and I'll be happy when I get a chance to respond to them. Now, you know, this is 50 years old. This is the 50th anniversary of Kwanzaa. 50 years old. Okay, and you know, when you look at the first principle unity. Now, everybody knows, right, that there is just no unity in the black community. You know, everybody dresses up in these outfits and stuff, and, you know, you get these so-called black scholars to come and speak and whatnot and what have you. And I just, we got a lot of work to do, black people. You know, we got a lot of work to do. And I'm not knocking the Kwanzaa, the whole idea of it, but I mean, come on. Collective work and responsibility. See, when you use, and see, and I know people are going to want to kick my back in and such and so on and so forth, and you're welcome to do that. But when you talk in the black community today, and I'm going to present this to you too, David, and we get into our conversation in just a second, I'm going to present this to you too about, you know, the concept of unity in the black community. I mean, come on. Collective, we need unity, collective, cooperative. When you use those words, it's like oil and water in the black community, first of all. Because there is very little unity in the black community as it stands today. Very little unity in the black community. And we've got a lot of work to do to even come even close to any of these principles. We have a lot of work to do. You know what the word that resonates in the black community today? Self. You know, self, because it's been every man for himself over the past 50 or so years in the black community. And that's just the way it's been. And see, we gotta start keeping it real about what's going on in the black community. We have to stop. You know, don't say this, don't say that. We got to stop with that. And we have to begin to keep it real with what's going on in the black community. We got to stop with this nonsense of, you know, don't say this, don't say that. You know, we have to start. The only way to realize you have a problem is to admit that there's a problem. You know, before you can do anything about it, you have to admit it. We have a serious problem in the black community today that needs to be rectified. And one of the things that first principle, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Boy, would that be nice. You know, that would really be nice. I'll come back to that because I've got a guest here standing by and I don't want to hold him hostage. So I'll get back to that. The phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. We're going to get to my special guest, David K. Jackson. Did I say that right? K. Jackson?
David? Absolutely. In fact,
okay.
The K stands for Kelly, right?
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes,
well, you come from good stock, brother. Okay. let's jump into your let me see if I can.
We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this. Your bathroom break is over.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com. Back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
Good
snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Hello, David?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. I hate this internet radio nonsense. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Back here with David K. Jackson. Sorry about that, Dave. You know, I'll have you back when we go to syndication. I hate this internet radio nonsense. All right, let's start off with the book now. Let's start off with the first chapter. Now, this book is 74 pages. Is that right?
Correct, it is.
Right, okay, so it's a short kind of story.
Well, it was done intentionally. You know, I tried to write it from the perspective of if I had to read it. And what I've discovered is, and what you'll discover is that most people don't have the time to read 200 or 300 pages, or they don't want to commit the time to reading a big book. So I thought I would write it so that it could be expedient but get right to the point and people could enjoy.
Okay, yeah, I try to use the Audible. Like, I'll listen to a book, like, if I'm at work because – you know, my day job is like really mundane, so I could listen to a book, and that would, you know, that works better for me because I could listen to the book instead of reading the book. So you're absolutely 100% right now. Okay, now where did you? All right, so the chapter one is the kickoff. Now, what was the inspiration? You know, the analogy of sports and life. Well, how did you come to that? How did you come to that?
Well, having participated in sports throughout my life and enjoying the games of basketball and football, it was just dropped in my spirit that life is a lot like the game of football and basketball, whereas you have four quarters in each game, but more importantly, you have two halves. And what we'll discover, Ron, is even today watching football, no matter who wins the first half, if you lose the second half of the game, you lose the game. So the most important aspect of life is the second half of life. No matter what happened yesterday, today can be your second half.
Okay, so you don't mean the second half in regards to, like, you reach a certain age and then, you know, it's downhill all the rest of the way. You're talking about, like, day-to-day experiences.
It would be per the individual. I share with people throughout the book that your vantage point determines your view. It's not necessarily what you see, it's how you see it. And two people can look at the same thing and see two different things. It's almost like the abstract art. You know, it's a painting that's based upon the individual that is viewing it that will give the interpretation.
All right. Now you say you were born born to a teenage mother and father. You're talking about high school age parents. And
absolutely.
How
my mother was okay. 16 years old, and my father was 17, turning 18 shortly thereafter when I was born. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So grandma had to step in and handle the business that your mother and father couldn't handle. Is that how your life?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what usually happens in, you know, with us, the grandma has to step in when the child is born of teenage parents, is usually the grandmother that has to step up and do what she needs to do. So how influential was she in your life, like growing up?
My mother or my grandparents?
Your grandmother. Let me ask you this first. Did you have relationship with your birth parents?
Absolutely. I mean, my mother and father are my biggest fans, my biggest supporters, best friends even. And I love and respect and honor them because the point of the book is here's an opportunity to have excuses. Based on the statistics, I talk about that being the son of statistics. I was born in the South, born in the
East. I
had every reason in the world to give up, to be nothing. But how likely is it that a child born to teenage parents in the South, on and on and on, would end up in Moscow, Russia? And what that says is, it's not about where you are. It's about where you end up. And between where you are and where you end up, you will make the difference. You will make the choice. You will make the decision. I heard you earlier talking about our community and the lack of unity in our community. And I would say simply to that, you win at your position. I heard people over the last year and a half talking about the political election, the presidential election, and whoa, if Trump wins, and whoa, if Clinton wins, on and on and on. And I would ask the question, Ron, well, let me ask you something. Because politics is local. How's your checking account? How's your credit? How are your children? What shape is your yard in? What shape is your community in? See, because we place so much focus on things that we have no direct control over. But things that we can impact, we don't have any concern with. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and that's a great point, David, because we do, in the black community, I spoke about not having any unity in the black community, but I believe that's something we can, we can one by one have some kind of control over, David. If we, as far as unity in the black community, we just come together. I mean, we can't control other people, but I think that I think that at some point we can come together, as one. At some point, I mean, it doesn't look likely right now, but
it is based upon your vantage point. Your vantage point will determine your view. And here's the thing: I have to be comfortable enough within myself to accept that your vantage point might not agree with my view. That doesn't make you wrong. It doesn't make me right. We have to learn to be interdependent. In other words, to accept the differences in others. And if we learn to overcome the differences and start to focus on those things that we have in common, and I was saying the yard and the checking account, because those are small victories that an individual could win rather than looking at all the losses. In other words, now everybody's focusing on the fact that Donald Trump is a president. Well, that's so far removed from you, but you could clean up your room.
Yeah, small that's victory. True. That's true. But and we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into that, the Trump stuff, because you're a Trump supporter.
Well, I support the office of the president.
Okay, but you're not specifically a Trump supporter. Okay,
absolutely not.
Because I did read something. I don't know if I read it right, but I did read something in your media about you being a Trump supporter. Now, unless I've read that wrong, and I don't think I did, but I did read something in your media that that you did support. You did support Donald Trump.
Well, I support the office of the presidency, and whether it be Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Clinton, President Clinton, it matters not. I support wholeheartedly the office of the presidency, and it's not based on the individual. It's respect to the office, and that has a lot to do with the Marine Corps background that I have. We are taught, and it is instilled in us, not to be political, but to carry out the mission, be mission-minded. Because when you start to interject personal and political feelings into leadership, the waters get muddy.
See, right. We're going to talk about that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm sorry. We're going to talk about that. But, we got the quick break, about a minute or so, and we'll come back with more. Everybody, it's my special guest, David K. Jackson, who's the author of Life in the Second Half. We'll be right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. And on the web is theronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can know what I plan to do this morning.
To the Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it is on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's theronkellyshow.com. Don't forget to check me out on Facebook. My Facebook page is the Ron Kelly Show, 5,000 or so likes, thousands of followers. Thank you, everybody, so much for indulging me in my nonsense on the Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, we need to get those likes up, those followers up on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Show. And, of course, on Instagram is Radio Man, too. And that's as far as I go with the social media stuff. There's Snapchat and all this other stuff. I don't know. At some point, maybe I'll indulge myself in it. But right now, it's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All right, join me. I have a program note I'll tell you about a little bit later on in the program. Right now, we're talking to motivational speaker, life coach. And you're a pastor as well, David. We'll talk about that in the morning. David K. Jackson is the author of Life in the Second Half, which you can get on Amazon, actually. You know, 'cause I was over there and I pulled down a copy to my Kindle. Now, I usually get those copies for free, but you know, I paid for this one. I have a whole library of books that were sent to me from folks I have interviewed over on the radio show over the years. But I said, you know, let me buy one for a change, you know, contribute. So I did. And books are easy to buy.
We certainly appreciate your support, Mr. Ryan.
No problem. Yeah, books are easy to buy, you know, and you get them a little bit cheaper when you download them to folks. You can get David's book on Amazon, as a matter of fact. And if you have a Kindle like I do, I think I have every electronic gadget on the planet in my house. So I'm a gadget guy. And if you have a Kindle Fire, you can download David's book straight to your Fire. You don't have to go to Barnes and Nobles or anywhere. You can download the you can buy the book on Amazon like I did, and you can download it to your Kindle Fire. It's a good read, and I definitely suggest that you guys check it out. It's called Life in the Second Half. And the author we have on the radio right now today, my special guest, David K. Jackson. Now you are a pastor. Now, are you, you okay? Well, all right, that's cool. So you pastor a church, or do you have a church that you pastor, or you're a pastor? Period.
Oh no, I have a church that I pastor. My church is Magnolia Baptist Church in historic Tuskegee, Alabama.
All right. Down there where they shoot in the heat of the night. Okay. It wasn't shot in Mississippi. It was shot in Alabama, actually. But, okay. All right. So do you talk about that? And I didn't see much of that in the book as far as you being a pastor, but you're a motivational speaker as well, life coach, et cetera, et cetera. You know, David, I always kind of wondered why life is so such a beautiful thing. I always wondered why anybody would need a coach with life. But have you found that many folks who needed coaching through life? And if you did, what were the problems that they experienced?
There are various problems and various times when people will need coaching, positions, promotions, when people are promoted to new positions, leadership, conferences, coaching staff. People that are new to authority, students that are going from high school to college, students that are new to quote-unquote religion. It's various reasons, grieving when people have the loss of a loved one. People, you know, and coaching and counseling are very, very close. The difference is in coaching, my challenge is I challenge people from the perspective of, I think help and assistance are two different words. See, help implies that I do it and you benefit. Assistance says that I'll come in and assist you in reaching a goal that we both agree that can be accomplished.
You know, I found this very interesting in Chapter 5, the 3P approach to your second half: preparation, process, and presentation. Talk to me about that.
Practice, practice, practice. Preparation precedes presentation. Oftentimes we have goals, we have desires, we want to do things, we want to be great, but we don't want to spend the time, the quiet time, practicing and becoming proficient in what it is that we desire to do. And those that have reached great heights, major accomplishments, what you'll discover is there were seasons when nobody knew what they were doing. Nobody recognized them. People doubted them. People gave up on them, but they continued to practice and became proficient. And I share with people all the time, Ron, prepare for the elevator moment. What is the elevator moment? When that moment when you wish, you hope, you dreamed, and all of a sudden now here it is, your moment is there. And the worst thing that can happen is for you to not be prepared.
Interesting. Now, prior to the 3P, there's a 3A approach to your second half. First, accept. Second, admit. And third, address. Explain that.
A part of the challenge that we'll discover, earlier you mentioned the selfishness. People were selfish. I share with people that when you break the acronym of the word self down into an acronym, SELF, spirituality, enlightenment, love, and freedom. Once you form a spiritual relationship, and we won't get into the dynamics of religion, on and on and on, it doesn't matter. It matters that you believe in something. That's per the individual. You establish a spiritual relationship. Then you become enlightened. You learn better. You should begin to do better. Then you learn to love. And ultimately, the greatest love that one will discover is the love of oneself. And part of the problem in our community, Ron, is because we've adopted and adapted to self-hatred. We haven't found the value within ourselves. And see, he who determines your value determines your worth.
If I
know what you have is more valuable than you believe or know that it is, you can't fault me for taking it from away from you. That's what the enemy
right.
does in the game of football. When you get on the goal line, you can't get upset when the coach charts out the biggest defenders, the meanest defenders. His goal is to stop you from scoring. That's what life is about. Life is about stopping you from scoring. But you have to have a greater desire. You have to have an innate ability to know that you were sent here to not only score but win.
Right, right. But you do get into the Bible a little bit in the book, David. Everybody, I'm speaking to David K. Jackson, author, motivational speaker, pastor, life coach. And thank you for your service, my brother. I meant to mention that to you earlier. Thank you for your service. Anytime I see a serviceman, enlisted man, I always, I walk up to them and I shake their hand and I thank them for their service because it's I can't imagine the, I was too young for Vietnam, so I can't imagine the sacrifice that it takes to serve this country, leave your family, your loved ones, and
it is an honor. It is an honor and a privilege, and I'm certainly grateful to God that those 6 years that I served in the United States Marine Corps, I was able to experience and witness and take part in, and even some history for our country. I was there when President Reagan and then Premier Gorbachev signed the Nuclear Arms Abolishment Act. So it was an honor to serve. It certainly was.
Yeah, what happened? Because they didn't, I guess the abolishment didn't take place because we still have the weapons, maybe not as many. But we'll get into that, and we're gonna talk to you about your assignment at the embassy in Moscow, which is like the weirdest looking place I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I've never been there, but just looking at the pictures, I'm like, man, there's no way I would be there for 5 minutes. Never mind for the time that you were there. But we're gonna get to that. But now let's walk on diamonds in chapter four. What I found is this is a very interesting book, everybody. I'm telling you, you need to get this book. You can get it on Amazon. You can just download it to your, if you have a Kindle, you can download. You can download it to whatever. You can even download it to your iPhone, I believe. You can download it to your iPad as well. See, they make it easy to buy books these days. So let's dispel that notion. If you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Let's dispel that notion and that nonsense, rather. and make sure you get out there and purchase David's book. It's called Life in the Second Half, and it's available on Amazon. All you got to do is download it. Click one buy, and you can buy it with one click. Just like the way that the man buys the Superman suit for his kid on that commercial, you can buy it the same way and download it to your mobile device.
Absolutely. It's also available, in addition, Ron, on the iPhone. You can go to the iBook store, and you can download it via the iBook store as well.
I think that's a beautiful thing, because you don't want to have, you know, you see people with, you know, these dusty bookcases in their houses with 1,000 books on them. You don't have to do that no more, because I can have my books in my Kindle, you know. And I use my Kindle, I'll use Audible, and I'll listen to this book, especially if I'm going on a long trip or something like that, and the people in the car I don't want to talk to, I'll just listen to my book. Sorry, everybody.
Wow.
21 minutes before the hour, we're talking to David K. Jackson, author of Life in the Second Half. You've had a really, you know, I get you. You just can't tell where. Let me put it like this: the narrative, for lack of a better word, with most people is like when a kid is born to parents, young parents, they wind up in jail or dead. You know what I'm saying? That's what's said most of the time about kids who are born to very young parents. They're doomed. You know, you've lived, you've kind of turned your life into diamonds from that situation, and you've led a very interesting life, and you are also very inspirational as far as you know, what your life experience. So you kind of dispel that notion, because, you know, I'm sure you've heard it, David, where, you know, when you talk about young parents or kids having babies, usually the kid is doomed. But you weren't doomed. You did okay.
Well, so, you know, I apologize for cutting you off, Ron. But
No, go ahead. I was finished.
You know, I'm reminded that, and I like to share with the listening audience as well, that is their opinion. That does not mean that it becomes your fact, you see. And we have to learn, again, that the opinions of others, I share with people, Ron, that projection and reflection. In other words, the image that you see in the mirror is simply a reflection that you projected while standing in the mirror, okay? So when negativity or the opinions of others come by or come around, and you're in the midst of negativity, it boils down to a choice. You can either accept that reflection, or you can explain. You know, you can remind yourself that is a reflection that does not reflect upon or reflect what I projected. So I'm gonna be different than what they say out, what they expect me to be. I'm gonna win because they expect me to lose. I'm gonna be the best because they said there's no way that it is not even remotely possible that one who has come from teenage parents can be successful.
It
isn't even remotely possible that a black man can speak and use the Queen's English without, you know, compromising who he is.
Right.
There's so many reasons to succeed, but we choose the negative in the narrative most of the time. And my question is, just as convenient or expediently as you can choose the negative, why not choose positive? It's available.
Absolutely. And we don't. And, you know, and I remember being, you know, having to practically fight, because I loved science when I was a kid. And, you know, I would always raise my hand. Mr. DeGenova was my science teacher in grammar school, and I used to always raise my hand, and the kids used to, you know, it seems that now, David, good, you know, when I was growing up, good was bad and bad was good, and even today,
right,
it's the same thing. The kids who do well. Are teased and maligned. But let's walk on the diamonds for a second. Keep your receipts. Now, these instructions were given to you by your CPA. Well, these instructions were given to me by my CPA. David says in the book, everybody, is David K. Jackson, and the book is called Life in the Second Half. The receipts would prove invaluable during tax season, he said. We should also maintain, now you say, we should also maintain and keep all of our spiritual receipts. Those are receipts from experiences that cost us a great price, pain in parentheses. Those spiritual receipts will prove valuable come spiritual tax time. That is a time when we will transform our pain into power, walking on diamonds. When you live in a world that has a tendency to overlook and disregard true and natural beauty, it should not be difficult to believe people actually walk on diamonds. I found this to be extraordinarily fascinating, and I recommend this to everybody. There's a lot in here. This is the book that you can pick up every day like a manual. You know, this is something you can pick up every day and get something out of. I don't look at this as your book, David, as a book that you just read and put it down. This is a more like a, in my estimation, in my humble opinion, it's more like a reference book rather than just something you read through and put down.
I'm humbled and I give all credit, you know, to God, to the Creator, and because it, I take no credit for it. I was inspired to write it. It came about, you talk about the walking on diamonds. Part of my story, part of my second half is I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for over 25 years and was commanded, demanded that I move to Alabama. And I vowed when I left Alabama that I would never move back. So I would say never, but move back to Montgomery, Alabama. And I can say that the rest is the second half. I mean, life has been amazing. I've encountered and met some amazing people. God has done some amazing things, to include the book hasn't been published. And the book is just a testimony of what is possible. Anything is possible if you believe. Anything is possible if you don't give up. I talk about in the book that faith is a vehicle that all can ride.
That's right. And I did read that. Because there's so much here. You know, there's a lot here. And this is, I recommend anybody to purchase the book. Go on to Amazon and get it. And there's a lot in this book. Now, when you look at the cover, when you look at the title, David, I know my first thought was, okay, he's talking about like after the midlife crisis, you know, now it's, you know, now it's time for you to, after the midlife crisis, like the second half of your life, because we all look at our lives in halves, like when we get to our 40s, I mean, that's it for the, you know, and then we look forward to the second half of our life, because it's like, you know, teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and then we consider the second half of our life to be like the 50s, 60s, 70s, et cetera. But you didn't mean that at all.
Absolutely not. It again, it's going to be per the individual. And I share with, in the, toward the beginning of the book, I talk about everybody has an it. And your it is that thing that only you were designed and created with in mind. It is that thing that one thing that you were sent here to do that nobody else is capable of doing, Ron. Perhaps your it is the Ron Kelly Show.
Absolutely.
And there is no way to determine how many lives you've impacted as a result of getting up and facing your it. But I can tell you this, and we haven't discussed it, and I'm not asking, but you would tell me if I'm incorrect or wrong. You didn't just wake up one day and become the Ron Kelly Show. And your experience and the compassion that you have in doing your show came about as a result of something that you've encountered, something that you overcame, that alerted you to the fact that, hey, you know what? This might be my it. This might be that one thing that I've been sent here to do, and everybody's it won't be the same. But I can assure you that everyone has an it. And when people see you, you talked about the Bible, and you talked about my being a pastor, and I use part of the story of the woman with the alabaster box. And it begins talking about when they saw her, they had indignation with it. That's where the it comes from. And what I share with people is you notice that they pointed out what she had rather than who she was.
Mm.
Yeah. They pointed out what she had rather than who she was. See, because they recognized, they knew who she was. Oh, by the way, she had a reputation. She was a night walker, a street walker, a hooker. You get my point.
Yes.
And their effort was to try and distance themselves from the fact that they knew who she was. Because, see, admitting that she was a hooker, a street walker, on and on and on, would alert, you know, Jesus to the fact that they had been where she was. Okay? So they attempted to take his mind off of who she was to address what she had. And oftentimes we will discover that people will focus on what we have, our gifts, our abilities, our talents. And they will come to a Ron in science class and say, "You're dumb, you're stupid," because they realize Ron possesses something that I would really love to have, but I could never compliment Ron. And Ron,
right,
in his heart of heart, knew this is unusual, this is a gift, this is an ability. But, and here's a question, Ron: what do you do as a winner when you're surrounded by losers, or a winner in a losing situation? I talk about that in the book. Because we're going to find ourselves oftentimes surrounded by circumstances and conditions that don't favor us. And from your pain comes your power. And that word process that you talked about earlier. We have to learn to endure the process, because at the end of the process, there is a promise. But you won't ever receive the pain if you won't endure the power. I'm sorry, you won't ever receive the power, I apologize, if you're not willing to embrace the pain.
Let's talk about your we have about 11 minutes left of the program, everybody. In case you're wondering who I'm talking to, it's David K. Jackson. He's the author, motivational coach, pastor, a motivational speaker, I should say, pastor, life coach, former Marine guard at the Moscow, United States Embassy in Moscow. Let's talk about that for a second, about your experience over there, handpicked by President Reagan. So you seem like you got some Republican ties there.
I was just telling, in fact, I was just had a conversation with my godmother. We as a people, African-American, black people, however you choose to describe us, we are conservative by nature. Now, I didn't say Republican by nature. I said conservative by nature. Remember, if you go and look at the pictures of the 50s and 60s, the civil rights movements and the roaring 20s, and you see pictures of our ancestors, you see them covered, long coats on, long dresses and bonnets and gloves, and the gentlemen wore ties. Because those were conservative values. We had manners. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You see, now these things have been turned to be, as you were saying earlier, they've been turned into negatives when these were positive attributes at one point. So, no, I'm not a Republican. I am conservative, however, and I have values about myself. And I don't laugh if it's not fun. I don't scratch if I'm not itching. I don't drop my head in the presence of another human being because I have values. I know who I am.
Yeah, and I feel you on that, because I too am I have leaned conservatively, but I don't consider myself a Republican. But you know, I am with I do like the idea of smaller government, less taxes, et cetera, et cetera. So Trump wins, and everybody's leaping out of windows and wanting to leave the United States of America for some other place. What were your thoughts about that, David? Because I'm an American, and I supported George Bush, and I didn't consider myself to be a Republican, but I support, like yourself, I'm having a little trouble with Trump, but but like yourself, I support who was ever in the chair, and that's something I can definitely respect, and that comes from that. I guess you could say that comes from your military background of respecting whoever the commander in chief is.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, because Trump I have a problem with.
To answer your question, even concerning Mr. Trump, again, your vantage point determines your view. In my view of Mr. Trump, I see him as a very interesting gentleman. But I believe that there is a greater power, and he has no more power than we offer or allow him to have in our lives, or in our existence. Now, I believe that there will be some good that can come from him. And I'll say this, Mr. Ron, keep your eyes open. Don't lead with your feelings. Don't lead with your emotions.
Yeah,
preparation precedes presentation. And if you are on your game and available and ready when the opportunity presents itself, folks, there are going to be some great opportunities. It has nothing to do with President-elect Trump. It has everything to do with policy lags 4 years after the sitting president. So some of the same policies that President Obama wanted to implement and the Senate and the Congress refused to implement, they will be implemented. as a result of President-elect Trump now being in office. But it would not have anything to do with President-elect Trump.
Yeah, but I think that he's, you know, but I do think that he's playing a very dangerous game when he starts tweeting about nuclear weapons. You know, to talking about breaking down NATO and making the countries pay. And some of those countries we need. Some of those countries that are out just outside, just across the Russian border, some of those countries we need, from what I understand about foreign policy, the UN. So to me, it's like he looks at this like some big monopoly board or something. But this is real world stuff here, and that's my problem with Donald Trump. So, I mean, whatever happened? Let me ask you this: you're a former Marine, so you are someone who is regimented or was regimented to a degree. So, whatever happened to the president being like presidential? Have we moved away from that as a country? Do you think that it's just, you know, that Trump can be acceptable as a president, and you no longer have to be presidential?
Awesome question. I'll give you two words. One is political and one is diplomatic or diplomacy. And what you'll discover is because he's had experience in neither category, this is what you see being displayed at the moment. And see, some of the decisions and some of the things that you were referring to in terms of international, NATO, on and on and on, those are diplomatic decisions. And it's a whole different world having lived in the diplomatic community. Of course, I was stationed in Paris. I was posted in Paris, Madrid, Spain, as well as Moscow, Russia. And so I lived in a diplomatic community for almost 3 years. It's an altogether different world, Mr. Reynolds. And what our president-elect is about to come into is a greater understanding of politics and an even greater understanding of the need for diplomacy.
Because I would think that the people who he surrounded himself with will, you know, elbow him a little bit and say, hey, Lord, hold up. You know, this is serious stuff here. You know, this isn't the art of the deal. This isn't, you know, an episode of whatever that show was that he used to be on. This isn't The Apprentice. This is real stuff. You know, wars start behind things that you say. So you have to watch it, I believe. You know, why isn't anybody telling him that, you know, he needs to, you know, be careful?
Perhaps they are, but it's almost like prior to, I'm trying to think of something that we could share in common and could agree with. If you've ever played sports, before summer practice begins, everybody's a superstar. And it's difficult for people that are playing to get you to understand that now it's going to be bigger than helmets and shorts. You know, at some point we're going to have to put the pads on. At some point we're going to have to play the game. And so, for one who has never again been involved in a political arena, or who has never had to deal with diplomats, foreign diplomats, that there are certain customs and traditions, there are certain rules and laws that come into play when you're dealing with diplomats. There's certain things, there's certain ways that you approach a head of state. There's certain ways. It's just so much that goes into it. And perhaps they're trying to explain to him, look, this is bigger than New York. This is, you're talking about the entire globe now at your service, sir.
Right. Right. This is what I'm talking about. Now we got Israel yapping once again because they want to be treated like gold. So there's a whole lot going on. So I just hope that the man doesn't start a war, because I don't know what 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit feels like. And I guess I'll never know, because if something happens, you know, you won't get a chance to feel it anyway. But we got about 3 minutes of the program left, David. I apologize for the technical difficulties we had earlier. We'll bring you back. And we'll talk more, because you definitely have more. I did a lot of show prep on this, but you definitely have a lot going on. So is there a website, or how can people listen to Ron Kelly's show? Because people are going to be contacting me, so they're going to want to know how to get to you. So Do you have any social media going on, a website or anything?
Absolutely. There is a website, www.davidkjackson.com. You can contact me there. We are on Twitter, like Mr. Ron.
Destin, of course.
Destin, D-E-S-T-I-N, the number 4, Fame, Destin for Fame. On Facebook, there's a book page, Life in the Second Half. And then there's also, for those that would desire, speaking engagements. We do MC programs. We do inspirational speaking. The likes, you can go to speakermatch.com, and there's a site for me there where you can book me and schedule different events according to your desire. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Ron. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to coming back. There's so much more that we didn't even get a chance
to get into. You've got a lot going on, and I'm struggling with making the show more than an hour. I'm really struggling with that, but you know, I'll pray on it, and hopefully I'll get an answer. You know, or if the show goes into syndication, then the people will decide how long the show's going to be. But I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming on to the program. Everybody, I've been speaking to Mr. Jackson, who is a motivational speaker and so much more. So you go to the website, you know, and you know what? Email me that, the Ron Kelly Show at Gmail. Email me all of the information. I think I have some of your stuff already in my Gmail. I'm not sure if I have the website, but and shout out to Bob Dowd. Bob Dowd, my new best friend, Bob Dowd, and of course, Martin Anthony, the guys over there at LinkedIn, or loaning a brother a hand, you know. Appreciate you guys. And so everybody, you know, thank you so much for listening to the Ron Kelly Show, David K. Jackson. You can get the book on Amazon. So go there now and get it, like I told you. get over there and get that book. All right, my brother, good to have you. I'm glad you were able to come onto the program. I apologize for the technical difficulty. We'll have you back, and we'll hook that up, and we'll have you back, and we'll talk more about a whole bunch of other stuff you got going on.
Right, we look forward to the opportunity, Mr. Ryan. It's been a pleasure, and to your audience, I thank you all for allowing us to come in and share with you this evening. Look forward to another opportunity. Again, the book is available on Amazon, Books A Million, the iPhone, www.davidkjackson.com. We thank you in advance for your prayers and for your support.
And I'll post everything on my Facebook page at Ron Kelly Show, and I'll tweet about it as well. All right, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you.
God bless you, Ron. Good night.
God bless you too, my brother. All right, everybody, that's it for the Ron Kelly Show. We'll see you back here next week. So until then, everybody, be safe out there.